Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
A lot of parents these days are struggling to hold their teenagers to high standards against a backdrop of youth culture and legalized cannabis. Well, we'll talk about this and more on this week's podcast, Are We Dumbing Down Our Expectations? It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW, and I'm your host, Neil D. Brown, and I'm here to help you get that enjoyable family that you work for every day. And if you have a question you'd like me to address on this podcast, don't be shy. We'll all benefit from your question. So come on over to my website, neildbrown.com, and enter it there today. And while you're there, download a free copy of my Parental Burnout Recovery Guide. And please remember, this is an educational podcast, not a substitute for therapy when you need it. Well, this week we're hearing from Cecil of Aurora, Colorado. And Cecil writes, my 16-year-old son, while not a perfect kid, does pretty well in school. With little effort, he gets B's and some C's. He enjoys sports, but just with his friends and not on the school teams. We struggled with getting him to do chores, be home on time, and do his best in school. In general, after some struggling, we get some improvement and things go reasonably well. My question is about marijuana and alcohol use. He is very social and he loves hanging out with his friends more than anything. Sometimes they're doing positive things like playing basketball or video games, and sometimes they're partying or smoking marijuana. His mother and I have come down on him for this, and it's the source of many arguments. He claims that everyone drinks and smokes, particularly at parties, and if we refuse to let him go to parties, he'll go anyway, or maybe even move out. We've talked about it endlessly, and now I've agreed that he can go to parties if he doesn't drink and drive, or get in the car with someone else who drinks and drives, and the same goes for marijuana. We told him that we understand that he will be drinking some and smoking marijuana, but it can't be often and it can't be too much. Now, are we doing the right thing here? Well, Cecil, thanks for your question, and you are agreeing to let your son do something illegal, and you're agreeing to let your son do something unhealthy. So, no, it isn't the right thing. And you're not alone. I meet with a ton of families where parents feel disempowered by youth culture and by other parents who either support their teenager's substance abuse or simply look the other way. Often, what I hear from them is, how's this one? That's what teenagers do. I can't come down on them for that. Or, all her friends smoke marijuana. If she can't smoke, she'll have no friends at all. What can I do if I say no? She'll just smoke anyway. I'm tired of fighting with him. He's just going to do what he's going to do. I don't think he's addicted. He says he only smokes on the weekends, so that's okay as long as he sticks to that. So all of these statements and all of these ways of thinking are rationalizations for parents who are, for one reason or another, disempowered. If I ask you, Cecil, do you want your son smoking marijuana? Is it really okay with you? Is it okay that he drinks at parties? Well, what's your answer? Well, you're writing to me about this, so it's obvious that you are not okay with it. So why are you allowing it? And the answer is because you feel disempowered. Your son needs an empowered father, and he needs to make some changes for himself, and his love of socializing and partying and his marijuana and alcohol use are undermining his adolescent development. Let me explain. Adolescence is a critical stage of human development. Whatever teenagers apply themselves to, they develop the talent for life. During adolescence, see, the brain is changing from one that absorbs everything around them as in childhood to one that specializes and gets very good at whatever it focuses on. So if your teenager learns a language or a musical instrument or math problem solving skills or a sport or physical activity, even good social or emotional management skills, their brain decides that they will need that skill for life, and then the brain prepares to be able to accomplish that. So on the flip side, of course, whatever teens don't apply themselves to, they don't learn, and that will be more difficult later in life for them to learn. So Cecil, your son is 16 years old, and he lives to hang out with his friends, smoke weed, drink, and isn't applying himself, and you and his mother, in your words, struggle with getting him to do chores, be home on time, and do his best in school. Not only that, but he threatens to move out if he doesn't get his way. Cecil, you and your son are in a control battle, and the control battle is having serious adverse consequences in several areas. Your son's development is suffering with low expectations and low performance. Substance abuse is likely leading to serious, long-lasting substance abuse problems. And you and his mom are no doubt experiencing parental burnout. So, I'm glad you've asked your question, and now I'm going to invite you to turn things around and let's start with a strong, positive view of your son. I don't know him, but he's obviously bright if he can get B's and C's with no effort, or little effort. He's a good athlete, although he doesn't fully challenge and develop his abilities. And he has strong social skills. He's quite forceful in his arguing and debating skills, obviously. He is a true extrovert. Now we're going to take a new look at your role as parent. It's not your job to make your son behave, or do his work, or be home on time, or not use drugs or alcohol. Those jobs belong to your son, and he'll do them, and he'll do them well when he decides to. Your job, Cecil, is to establish appropriately high standards for your son and to have accountability to those standards. Otherwise, you're giving a mixed message. You can't have high standards without accountability to those standards, or those standards are just meaningless words. So it's also your job to have and express confidence in him. Teenagers in general kind of lack confidence in their abilities, and parents need to be the holders of that confidence until they can hold it for themselves. So now, Cecil, you and his mom have gotten into a pattern which I call the control battle, and patterns are hard to break, but they can and need to be broken, and when you're ready, here's the talk you can use to initiate the change from the old dysfunctional pattern to a new relationship with high standards, high performance, and accountability to those standards. And parents, this talk can be modified to fit virtually any parent-teen control battle-based relationship that parents are ready to break out of. Now, I've given examples of the talk before, so I hope you're not getting tired of it. I just hope that hearing it a few different ways can help you see how it might apply to your situation. So here's how it'll go with Cecil. And Cecil, I'm going to call your son Andrew. And here goes. First, you'll call a meeting with no devices present, maybe some snacks, drinks. And here's what you're going to say. Andrew, as you know, you and we have been fighting a lot over these past couple years, and we're not happy about it, and I'm sure you aren't either. You know, there's bound to be some struggles between parents and kids, but it seems everything between us is a battle these days, and that's not healthy for you, and it's not healthy for us either. Now, maybe the worst thing about it is rather than mom and I really enjoying you and being supportive and recognizing your many skills and talents, We're fighting and struggling and not saying very much that's positive. And that's not what you need from your parents. You need parents that recognize your abilities and are proud of you and can let you know that. You know, you're very smart and you can see that with very little effort, you're still doing halfway decent in school. You're a talented athlete and you enjoy athletics and you have great verbal skills and often you can even out-argue me and your mom. You're very popular, you have an easy time making friends and everybody loves you. It's sad that Mom and I haven't taken the time to let you know how proud we are of you and how special you are to us. So, we owe you an apology for not expressing this sooner and more clearly, but also for letting you down in other ways. Andrew, we have not been asking you to do your best, and doing your best is very important. That's how you learn how talented you really are, and that's how you develop your talents and how you prepare yourself for adulthood. Now, doing your best is critical because that's how you learn to become independent. Andrew, independence is the ability to manage responsibilities without a lot of direct support. And throughout our lives, we'll always need help at various times. None of us are good at everything. But we have to embrace the concept of managing responsibilities and doing our best. And unfortunately, Mom and I have not taught you that. We've argued and we've fought and we've lowered our standards. We've not required you to do your best. Now, even against our best judgment, we've told you it's okay to use marijuana and drink alcohol as long as you don't do it too much or drive when you do. Shame on us! In fact, it's not okay for you to use marijuana or alcohol or any other non-prescribed drug. And it's not okay for you not to do your best in school. You're clearly capable of getting all A's and maybe some B's, but it's not really the grades we're concerned about. What we haven't been asking for and what we will ask for going forward is your very best effort. And also at 16, when Mom and I ask you to do something around the house, we should be able to expect cooperation. You're a young man now and we need your help. So if we ask you to take care of something, such as clean your room or take the garbage bins down to the curb, we should expect cooperation without a fight. You know, the other area we've let you down in is not requiring you to have some positive activities other than hanging out with your friends to be involved in. You haven't gone out for a sport at school or joined any of the clubs, and you don't have a job. You know, I can see where you would be confused because you've been enjoying privileges even though you have not been doing your best. And by privileges, I mean your cell phone, yes, it's a privilege. Computer use, yes, that's a privilege. Freedom to go out, that is a privilege. You know, just go be with your friends. Frequent use of the car. Allowance. These are privileges, Andrew, and privileges must be earned. And the way to earn them is by managing your responsibilities up to the best of your ability, not just slocking through, but really applying yourself, and by having a good attitude. And just so you're clear, a good attitude means respectful in your tone of voice with me and Mom, and being cooperative with us too. So going forward, let us be clear. There will be no drug or alcohol use, including and especially marijuana. We expect you to do homework every night for at least an hour and a half, and I'm going to need you to choose something positive to get involved in. That can be a sport, volunteering with after-school activities for the elementary school, you know, a job, any other positive activity you can think of, or maybe we'll have more suggestions. But we'll expect cooperation and respect when we talk with you about our expectations. Okay, so there's the talk. Cecil, I'm sure your son's going to want to interrupt and argue, because that's what he does. And when he does, it looks like asking him to hold his thoughts and questions is just going to result in an argument. Just listen. Acknowledge his thoughts and feelings and go on. Andrew, starting now, you are expected to be home after school every day and there will be no going out without specific permission. If you want to keep your phone and other privileges, you are going to need to step up your game and show us that you're taking this all very seriously. Andrew, I know this might feel harsh, but actually it's what should have been happening all along. So I'm sorry for taking this long to be clear, but better late than never, and you are worth it. So listeners, it's hard to challenge old patterns. I know it's hard, and it's hard to challenge a culture of substance abuse among our youth. It takes courage to parent teens, and if you muster up the courage, you'll empower your teenager to invest in themselves and to be courageous as well. Thanks for tuning in today. And special thanks to Cecil of Aurora, Colorado for his question. And have you read my book, Ending the Parent-Teen Control Battle? Well, whether you have or not, you can go to the publisher, New Harbinger Publications, enter the title, Ending the Parent-Teen Control Battle, click on Free Accessories, and download the chapter for teens only. It also comes with a free control battle assessment. Control battles are a family affair, so we might as well include our youth in resolving it. And it's free. And that's my favorite price. How about you? Okay. And remember, please, take care of yourselves. You need it. You deserve it. You're worth it. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parent-Teen Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.